Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five. My daughter Emily is in studio with me today. We want to talk about family vision as it extends to international outreach. Family vision begins, of course, with Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Before you get the job, before you get the money, before you make the buck, it's seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And of course, don't forget the great commission that Christ gave to us before he left 2,000 years ago, and that was to disciple the nations by teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. And that's got an international element to it, absolutely. And today we want to talk about missions trips and ordinary people making international impact. See, in the present day, you can make way more of an international impact than you could in the 1960s, the 1940s, and the 1880s. Why? Because we have so much more ability to communicate, to bring transportation all the way across the world. We even have interaction with internationals in our own church. I think in any given week, we've got 2 to 3 internationals in our little local church in Elizabeth, Colorado. A couple of weeks ago, Emily, remember we had somebody from Pakistan, a Pakistani preacher who happened to be in town, and he visited our church, did a short presentation, and we had a wonderful time talking about what God is doing in Pakistan. Now, today, let's take a look at what our family can do in an international outreach. I think this is important. Our family vision has got to include more international involvement than ever before. I've been talking about this now for, what, about 2 to 3 years, Emily? Mm-hmm. We've been to Russia this year. We've been to Mexico. We'll be going to Mexico again. I think you're going with me. And I've been to Canada. That's sort of international. And then you were in Uganda. It's a big part of what our family needs to be all about, because the kingdom in the 21st century is more international than ever before. Get over it, friends. The old waspy thing is over. Where the waspy thing, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant-y thing, is going to dominate the kingdom. No, not anymore. That should be obvious. The whites, the Anglo-Saxons, the North Americans, and the Europeans, they're in full-bore apostasy. Get my book if you got any question about that. But that doesn't mean the kingdom is over. It's around the world. It's time for us to get involved in this thing. And we don't want to be counterproductive on our mission trips. We want to make an international impact, but too many of these 2-week mission trips is more of a drag on the internationals, and it's not helpful. It's counterproductive, at least according to a recent book, How Helping Hurts, one of the best books written on helping the poor and helping our international missions. I'd recommend the book to you. And it's where the big white elephant comes in and stomps all over the little mouse, as in the old African parable. Well, we want to also grow as believers. We want to serve wherever God takes us. We want to contribute something positive if we can and learn some good things as part of the kingdom vision of this household, of the Swanson family household. And here's one more thing. I think homeschooling families can get ingrown as they see themselves, they work with themselves as, and the same thing happens for that sort of narrow slot, little local church that's defined by a rather narrow denominational boundaries. They forget there's more to the kingdom of God than their own little church of 27 people who have maintained the highest standards of orthodoxy in the history of the Christian church. I'm being a little sarcastic there. But we need to be careful we don't get too ingrown as homeschooling families, as Christian families, as church families. It's not all about the family. It's something we're learning. It's about the kingdom. It doesn't say seek ye first the family. It says seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's basic for the family vision. We don't want to sacrifice the family on the altar of the church. But neither do we want to sacrifice the church on the altar of the family. Building the church of Christ is important, as is building the family. So my daughter Emily spent 3 months helping a homeschooling family, the Tenenga family in Uganda, for 3 months. And then she's been back now for a couple of months, and it's time to download him. So let's download. You went to Uganda. You had a wonderful time there. There was some struggles. Mm-hmm. There were some challenges. It was a challenge for you, wasn't it?
It was. It was definitely. And I just want to preface by saying, I think, especially when you go to a country and you go there with the purpose of being on a missions trip, you have to remember that wherever you're going, there's always going to be families. You're part of a family. You're going to go to families. So families are part of the kingdom of God. So you can't really separate the family from the church, just like you're saying, or the church from the family, because they're an integral part of each other. Because I interacted with so many families in Uganda, but probably some of my biggest challenges, I had way more blessings than huge challenges, but was being away from my family, especially for a girl who's been in the home her whole life and being a homebody. It was weird to get on a plane and say goodbye to my whole family and then go through customs by myself. And everything worked out smoothly. I got there smoothly. But it was definitely a step in faith. And you told me at the beginning, you said, remember, everything, even your own struggles, your own sin, it comes down by faith. And that really became so much more real to me, that the days when I was lacking in faith was when I was feeling overwhelmed or overcome by my own emotions or my own loneliness or my own self-pity. But it truly does, those challenges do come down by faith. And probably the other thing that was another interesting challenge, not an annoying challenge, but a hard challenge, was that I was a minority there. You're a Mzungu, you're a white person. And so you get a lot more attention from little kids, from teenagers, from adults, because you're different. You look different. And I think it was really good for me being there and yet still thinking there's only skin color difference and that's nothing. We're striving to become brothers and sisters in Christ. And so the people in Uganda, the ways they blessed me were manifold. Especially, they are very hospitable. And it really struck me, because sometimes in America we'll say, oh, my house isn't big enough, my house isn't clean enough, I can't serve as nice a meal as that other person. These people, they have way less than any of us, yet they're still willing to open up their homes and their hearts. There was a pastor's family who had me over. I was sure they probably took all their food out of their refrigerator and made this ginormous meal just because me, one person, was coming over for dinner. And they're happy with very little, because especially the Christians, because they know that whatever they do have, God provides. And that really impacted me, because I'm over here and I want more and more stuff and I'm never happy. And I think if I just get over that next hill where the money will be flowing and the ice cream will be good, it will all be good. But that's not true. And I truly saw in these people and the Christians there that they realized that to depend on God is where you find your joy and your happiness.
And we appreciated the fact that you stayed in such close contact with us along the way. Before you left, you remember I gave you a handwritten list of all these things. And we went over that at the IHOP restaurant, remember, before you left. And you communicated with us so well. And that was so important to us. You went on for pages and pages, and you emailed every other day. And not only the family, but the local church got us such a wonderful perspective of things. We've probably been connected to this Uganda mission for 15 years.
Yeah, we have.
But I've never had a clearer idea of what is happening on the field, blow by blow, in four color, as I received it from you. And of course, the downloads we've received since you've been back. It's just so good to have this connection with our brothers and sisters in Uganda. And you served as that connection for us.
Yeah, and I think it truly served to connect my heart and my prayers with them, to see the struggles that they go through, to see the sacrifices they've made, to see the things that they're ordinary people that God has given an extraordinary ability to share the gospel and an extraordinary heart to show these people the hope of Christ. And that really came home to me, because I've always thought of missionaries in sort of a far off sense, where they're way across the world and what they're doing is great, but I don't really know that much about what they're doing. I mean, they still live normal lives. They wash their own clothes, they make their own food, but in a lot of ways it's harder because you don't have dependable water. The Tuningas just were out without water for 2 weeks. in Mbali, and that just doesn't happen here normally. And they go without electricity pretty much every day for a period of time.
Now, what kind of relationships did you form during the time you were there, Emily?
So there were a lot of children who came to the church, and the children are very open and friendly, and they love you taking pictures of them. They love talking to you, practicing their English on you. And I built a lot of friendships with the children. Probably the deeper friendships I built were with the missionary family that I stayed with. And there was also another pastor's family who lived on the compound with us. They're some of the sweetest, deepest, heartfelt Christians that I've ever met. Very strong in the faith. And I built really just very good friendships with them. Mama Rachel, she's actually from Kenya, but she lives in Uganda because her husband, she married him there. But she was just this wealth of knowledge of and information, especially in the kitchen. I would help her in the kitchen, and I would just ask for tips or like, what do you wish you had known when you were raising your children? What has God taught you about raising children? And she had so much to offer. And that was just, and she was really, they welcomed me into their hearts right away. And that really spoke to me too, just on the fact of when visitors come into our church, I should be just as welcoming, because in Uganda, they make a priority of saying, okay, who's visitors here? And all the visitors stand up and they usually bring this greeting. They say, I bring greeting from our brothers in Kampala, and they love you, and we are so happy to be here, and we just praise God for your work. And it really felt like when Paul writes to the Philippians, or the beginning of a lot of his letters, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And it really felt like these people were doing that concretely in person. And they were so gifted and so good at welcoming visitors that convicted me.
They have a little song they sing as well, which won our hearts. We don't do it yet in our local church here in Elizabeth, but we might. Why don't you just sing it for us? How's it go? When you get a visitor, they give you the name.
Right.
What do they sing?
So it goes like this, and you have to sing it with sort of a Ugandan accent, or it just doesn't sound genuine. So it goes like this. Well, welcome, visitor. Well, welcome today. I'm happy to see you. Are you sure? I'm sure. And I know, I'm ready to serve Jesus. Come on, come on. And then I would follow up with, my name is Emily. And the whole group goes, she's a Emily. I'm happy to see you. Are you sure? I'm sure. And I know, I'm ready to serve Jesus. And you could keep going on forever and ever and ever.
Every visitor shows up. It could go on
several hours if you wanted.
Okay.
But it was such a fun song. I love the Ugandan accent and just the charisma in welcoming visitors. Sure. It brings down the barriers, breaks the ice much more quickly than any other way I've welcomed a visitor before.
That's sweet. And what did you do there? You were in Mbali for most of the time. You were also in the Karamojong up in the hinterlands, up in the tribe of the Karamojong for a little while. What were you doing specifically? Give us a list of some of the things you were able to do for the time that you were there in Uganda.
So specifically, I didn't go out and do like a lot of outreach outside of the missionary family, but what we did was plenty because we had so many people. It almost felt like our house. But we had so many people coming into the compound and out of the compound and coming to church on Sunday that we would just, you know, you take your mission field right where you are and you minister to those people. But I went there for the primary purpose of helping the missionary family because life is just harder, more complicated. There's more details. It's slower. If you don't have someone to help with the cooking, to help with the laundry, to help with the cleaning, to help monitor kids in the yard. And so I did a lot of those things. I helped with school a lot. I would kind of tutor the Chininga children in the morning. And one other thing that was really, really impactful to me is there are a lot of true blue orphans there and widows. And they, it's so sweet to minister to them because a lot of them are without a dad. Some of them are without moms, and they come to the compound and they're just hungry for attention and for love because a lot of them don't get it, and they don't get disciplined. They don't get taught what's right, what's wrong. It's wrong to steal stuff from the missionary. It's good to ask if you want something. They aren't taught that. And so we had this whole ministry almost to a lot of almost virtual orphans, because they just come, and the Tuningas are so willing to open up their gates to all these children after school. And Mr. Tuninga has a huge heart for bringing the children around for prayers on Wednesdays, or just sharing family Bible time with 25 other kids. I don't know a lot of people who'd be willing to do that, but it was amazing that they had the heart for that.
Did you visit any orphanages while you were there?
I did. And I visited two. They were a huge contrast to each other. One was ran by some Christians in Jinja, which was about an hour west of us. And that was a beautiful establishment. There were probably 40 kids there, about 0 to 4. And some of them were true orphans. Some of them were placed there by their parents until they could care for them at 3 or 4 when they don't have to change their diapers anymore when they're potty trained. That was so, so neat because it's a Christian organization. It has volunteers. It has Ugandan house moms. And the children seemed very loved. They came up to us. They were very friendly. I wanted to adopt some and take them home with me, but I didn't. And then I also visited another one in Mbali. It was a little bit of a sadder situation that the babies were smaller, skinnier, very, very starved for attention. They weren't unfriendly, but they just seemed like they really needed someone to love them. And I got so much fulfillment of sitting there with them in their wet diapers, sitting on my lap, singing songs, playing with them, running around, because they don't understand English. But we connected really well, and it was probably some of the sweetest times I spent while I was in Uganda, just being there. And the last time we were there, I was also there with two other missionary associates and a native Ugandan. Her name was Teddy, and we prayed over the babies, and we prayed that God would care for them, because God truly is a father to the orphans. And it's hard to see how many children are either orphaned or virtually orphaned there, because there isn't a lot of that, as much of that here in the States. And so it just came back to me as a stark reality that a lot of these children are starving for the need of a father and a mother who God created for us children. And it really made me appreciate my mom and dad even more, and want to reach out to these orphans and tell people that there are children that need homes, that need love, discipline, and the word of God in their lives.
Well, Em, we're out of time. We're going to take a break. When we get back, one more story about Uganda. This is a different story. Ordinary people making an international impact. Can your family make an international impact too through your family business? That's next on the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. Hey dads, is it time to get away with your sons to build those relationships? Remember, fruitful relationships is what it takes to have a fruitful life. How you disciple your son has everything to do with the relationship you have with your son. So don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime experience at our father-son retreat at the Crooked Creek Ranch in the Colorado Rockies this August. This year, we will be featuring speakers like Scott Brown, Dan Einerson, Mike Chappa, Steve Vaughn, and yours truly from the Generations Radio program. You'll enjoy outdoor activities, training sessions, including wilderness first aid, mountain survival, blood tracking, as well as sports activities, swimming, high ropes course, rock climbing walls, kayaking, and hiking in the beautiful Colorado Rockies. and we're cutting the price for the 2014 Father-Son Retreat. It all happens August 28th through the 31st at the most fabulous retreat center in the Colorado Rockies. Register today for our Father-Son Retreat at check.org. That's C-H-E-C.org. That's check.org under Check Events on the web. Or call toll-free 877-842-2432. That's 877-842-2432. And welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, talking today about missions trips and what we can do in other countries to contribute to the growth of the kingdom, the establishment, discipleship of the nations, including Uganda. And today, especially looking at Uganda. And Jeff Swanson joins me, a good friend from Michigan. Jeff's a pastor of a church up in Michigan, up in Michigan somewhere. I can't remember where you're from, Jeff. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. New Era, Michigan.
New Era, Michigan.
From, okay. Grand Rapids.
Very good. Real close to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And Jeff and the dairy that he works with, Country Dairy up there, have a very important practical outreach for the kingdom out in Uganda. And they've established the first dairy, as far as we know, the first dairy in Uganda. And they're training the nationals on how to do this. Jeff, what an incredible idea. Where did the idea first come from, do you think?
Well, one of the men that I work for, his name's Wendell Van Gunston. He's in his early 70s, and he's been in the dairy industry for his entire life. And as a child, always knew that he wanted to be a dairy farmer. But he was able to really take a look at what his grandfather was doing and catch a vision for that and be able to do that. But in Uganda, with the wars that have been there for the last, 25, 30 years, they've lost a generation where these young guys don't have that vision. There is no vision for, establishing anything but a subsistence lifestyle. And so his view when he visited Uganda was, let's give them a vision to be able to help them see what could be the possibilities for a dairy farm.
Hmm. And, I think it's important for those of us living in the United States. We've been blessed here. God has given us tremendous material blessing, spiritual blessing. Yep. America really is the source of much missionary work around the world. And it's encouraging to see that average, ordinary dairy farmers like yourself and those that work on the farm there in Michigan are willing to reach out to another nation that's really, really underprivileged and doesn't have the opportunity to establish itself economically, agriculturally. They're having a hard time really getting off the dime in Uganda. And I think we can contribute something to that. And yep. And you're certainly seeing this with the dairy that you guys have placed there over the last couple of years. How's it going so far? What have you done so far?
Sure. Wendell Van Gunst, the owner, he visited through Partners Worldwide about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, and just was moved by the people that he was with. The Christian folks that he was dealing with were just very joyful, and they had a cow background, if you will, but not like what he experienced.
So they knew what cows look like.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They could probably milk a cow here or there, and
right.
It's true.
So they had a subsistence life.
Right.
The average dairy farm in Uganda has one cow.
Right, 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 right. So there's lots and lots of people who have one cow. You can't create an economy on one cow.
Exactly, exactly. And one of the things that they have a problem with was, they have a dry season, and so when they have this dry season, basically they would stop milking the cow, turn them out on the range, and let them basically eke out a living out on the range. And Wendell said, look, we have a dry season, quote unquote, as well. It's called winter. And we put up food for that time. And there was never that consideration that we could store food in order to be able to milk, all year round instead of just for a few short months. So that's been a major part of that, is teaching them how to grow crops to be able to put up for that dry season.
So they've been working at establishing the dairy, and they've they've got how many cows at this point?
There's about 25 cows.
Okay.
And that is the from what we can tell is the largest dairy farm in Uganda.
How did you get these cows together? You put them in suitcases and carry them over there?
Exactly. That's it. No. Wendell is a cow guy. He's got 50 plus years of experience with cows. And so he was there with another gentleman that used to be one of the herdsmen here at the farm. And they were praying about it, trying to figure out where they were going to get cows. They thought maybe Kenya. They were on their way to the eastern part of Uganda. And somebody called them up and said, you know, you should check out this farm. He's got a lot of cows, and it was an answer to prayer. They ended up going there and buying all the cows, and they were some of the best cows. They are the best cows in the country from what they could tell. And the guy that had this herd just had really invested a lot of time and money into some genetics and stuff to be able to get really good cows there. And it was just a godsend.
Okay.
Amazing.
So he was able to piggyback on some work that had already been done there.
Exactly.
And hopefully the beginning of the first dairy farm, or bona fide dairy farm, in Uganda. And maybe the beginning of something more as the years go by. This is the only way in which people are going to be fed, in which this nation's going to have something of a healthy subsistence for the years to come. So, you know, the encouragement is to train and to teach the indigenous people how to do this. Now, that right now this farm is not being run by white guys from the West. These Africans are doing the work themselves now.
It has been turned over to them, and they're doing a fantastic job. The herdsman there is, his name is Tony Kadega, and he is a veterinary by training and had worked on some of the national properties and all of that, and some of the national parks, and worked with chimps and chimpanzees, and then ended up in the dairy industry, you know, really by God's grace, and is loving it, and has the vision of it, and he actually spent about a month or maybe 6 weeks over here last summer, not this past summer, but last summer, and just got some training and stuff here, and was able to go around with our vet and do a lot of work, and so it was great.
Jeff, this is something very practical that, you know, an average ordinary dairy farmer in the United States can contribute to missions, can disciple the nations, obviously in a very practical sense.
Are
you planning any more trips? How many times have you guys been over there? And what's the future look like for this endeavor?
Sure. Yeah, Wendell has been over there probably close to a dozen times in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
He's taken a team over there with him several times to do work. One of the things that we did was ship over basically a whole dairy farm. And so we put it all in one of those containers and shipped that over. And so we had to take a building crew over there. And they started building all of that. And by the end of the week of, you know, building, they had turned everything over to the nationals, and they were just assisting them now and being able to do that. So, you know, we have skills here that we can take over to share with people around the world. God's blessed us, like you said earlier, with the ability to do some of those things and have the knowledge to be able to take that to other people and build an economy. And that's really the long-term vision.
Yeah.
Is to build an economy there, because when you have a dairy farm, it's not just a dairy farm, but now it's a processing facility where you can bottle the milk, make cheese, make whatever dairy products you might for the people. But also then you need somebody who's going to supply tractors. You need somebody who's going to supply veterinary services. You need somebody that's going to supply feed. So then all of a sudden with just a dairy farm, you know, a 25 cow dairy farm, you've started to establish an industry.
Yep. And how many cows are you going to take this thing to? You're on 25, 30 acres. Obviously, you want to grow this thing, but at what point do you spin off and start creating new farms?
yeah, that's really the goal. This has sort of been set up with the vision of being a model research farm. And so they can have conferences there and teach people from all over Uganda to come here and see. And again, that's the whole thing. You got to, in order to have the ability to be able to do something, you have to have some kind of sight of it. You got to see what's going on, and then you can build on that. And so that's the idea, to have this research farm here, to be able to bring in others and catch the vision as well, and not just dairy farmers, but you know, the whole all that goes with it.
And so, we should also make the point that these guys are Christians, and the people working the farm out there are Christians, and the folks going from this side are believers, and they're out there praying with and teaching the word and reading the word together with these guys.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the stories that was told by one of the construction guys that was there, they were in the midst of building the barn, and there was a huge storm coming, and they heard about the storm that was coming, and it was going to be tremendous winds, and it could have knocked down the building that they had erected. So 25-30 of the nationals and our team gathered together, they held hands, they prayed, and the storm went to the north, it went to the south, and blew right over them.
Oh, that's great. That's a lesson of faith.
An answer to prayer, right? Yeah, right there.
Fantastic. Well, that's incredible pioneering work being done by average, ordinary folks here in America who have found some way in which they can help, in which they can lend a hand to discipling the nations. And it doesn't necessarily require a master's in divinity or a PhD and a seminary. We got to work from the bottom up, and a huge part of discipling the nations involves training men to do the work and to establish their own family economies and eventually build the economy of a nation. And that's what's happening here with this wonderful outreach from Country Dairy up in the Grand Rapids area. Jeff Swanson, hey, thanks, brother, for joining us today on the Generations broadcast. I'm just hoping that programs like this will stimulate ideas amongst the tens of thousands of people that tune in all around the country and even in other countries. I'm hoping that somehow, you know, others will catch a vision and we'll see more of this going on all over the world. It's exciting to hear what you guys did, but I'm sure there are many other people with other visions that they are receiving in which they can contribute something as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, so you can find us on Facebook and see that. It's Gulu Country Dairy. That's one way. And you can also look at Partners Worldwide and see what we're doing as well. That's partnersworldwide.com, I think, or .org.
Okay. Very good. Jeff Swanson on missions trips on this edition of the Generations broadcast. Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.